Man, it is so good to be in this room tonight. It's so good to be worshiping with you guys. That was awesome, right? Man, I like it. I want a little bit more of it. I want more like rowdiness in here. Can you guys just like be a little bit more excited? Don't hurt yourself. Hey, can I have Aurora up here? Aurora! What a cool name, right? Like, Aurora. What are you named after?
Sleeping Beauty.
Ah, Sleeping Beauty. Cool. Well, Aurora, you've been a leader here for what, a couple years? You've been an awesome leader. Anybody say amen to that, right? Because we know that to be true. Incredible leader. And, well, I don't know. Grab the mic and tell me what else.
Tonight's my last night because I'm going to New Mexico State University to study counseling. So basically, I can become a professional spectrum leader. So I'm super excited, but also really sad to leave. And I just want to tell you guys, never stop worshiping, never stop loving God, because it makes my heart really happy and it makes his heart so happy. So please just don't lose that faith, and that my leaders made such a big difference to me, and so that you guys can do the same. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, we want to pray for you real quick. Can I get a couple leaders? Just run up real quick. The fastest of the leaders. Come up here. Let's lay hands on her and let's pray for her as she makes this next step onto where is it? Socorro? No, not Las Cruces. That's right. Las Cruces. Father, we thank you that you know where she's going and you have gone before her, Lord. And I thank you for what an incredible leader she's been. What an incredible leader, Lord, she's continuing to be, Lord, as she just goes to learn, Lord, how to counsel better and just see more lives change through this education process, Lord, that you've called her to. So, Lord, I pray that you would just go before her and she would just trust that not only have you gone and you've prepared the way, Lord, for her studies, but, Lord, you're right there beside her every step of the way, and you're behind her, Lord. You're pushing her on towards great things. I pray that she would continue to trust in you. And, Lord, I pray that just her leadership would not be something that is just left, Lord, here, just as in, like, this is the last weekend and it's all done, Lord, but just the things that she has left behind to the students and just the wisdom that she's imparted, just her spirit of love and grace and all those things, Lord, would continue, Father. We'd put those into practice, and we would see that it was because, Lord, you've done a work in her life, and that's evident, and we want to just continue to pass that on and continue to be those leaders like Aurora. So we thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. You going to stay up here and teach for me, Alex? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Alex.
Sup? So.
You would do it, huh?
Yeah.
He has a sermon in his pocket right now. Where is it?
It's right here.
Take it out.
Handy dandy wallet.
You really have one?
I do. This is going to preach.
Let me preach it real quick. Let me preach it. Sopo. Roasting and brewing. He's got two more before he can get a free one. Yeah. Who wants this? Who wants this? I'm just kidding. Take it, man. You deserve it, dude. I love you. Wow. That was awkward. We kind of like went for a hug, and it was like, I didn't really commit to it. That's all right. We love you, man. Do you guys have your Bibles? Take them out. Open up to John chapter 14, but then close it, like mark it, then close it, because we're not going to need it right away. But we will need it. Don't get me wrong. The Bible is central, right, to these studies, and you're never going to have a message where we, like, don't have the Bible. We're always going to have it, but we just don't need it yet, okay? Instead, I'm going to open up with an old Buddhist Japanese proverb. You guys cool with that? It's okay. Come on. I mean, you're like, should I be okay with that? I don't know. I think this is a trick question. If I say it's okay, then maybe you might throw me out of the youth group. No, but there's an old, I'm sorry, I said Japanese, and I'm completely wrong. It's not from Japan at all. It's an Indian proverb. I was thinking of a different one. You're like, how do you get those two confused? I have no idea. Don't judge me for that. But it's an old proverb. And it's a story of a group of blind men that heard news that an elephant was coming to town. Okay? Now, these blind men, they had never experienced, they had no idea what an elephant was. So they sought out for it. They said, well, let's go discover what this elephant thing is. And so they sought after it, they found it, and they began to do what they could do to discover what was an elephant. They couldn't see it, obviously, they were blind, so they began to reach out a hand and touch it, to feel it. The first blind man, he put his hand out and he reached and he grabbed a hold of the trunk of the elephant. And he made an assumption based on what he felt. He said, oh, well, an elephant is like a snake. The next guy came and reached out his hand and he touched the ear of the elephant. And he thought to himself, he concluded based on what he felt that, oh, an elephant must be a big giant fan. The next guy reached out his hand and he just touched the side of the elephant and he thought, well, an elephant must be a wall. And then Siri came on. No, I'm just kidding. And then the other guy, he reached out and he touched the tail and he said, oh, an elephant is a rope. And then the last guy, he touches the tusk of the elephant. He felt it. He felt how hard and how sharp it was. And he concluded that an elephant is a weapon for battle. It's a spear. Now, any of them get it right? None of them got it right as a whole. Now, some of them, they all got certain qualities of the elephant. You know, there's a tusk-like, spear-like tusk that comes out of the elephant. But that doesn't show that an elephant is a spear. So he didn't get it right completely. But they all kind of got just little tiny areas of what an elephant might be. But they didn't get it right at all. They were all wrong as a whole. Now, I shared that with you guys, this old parable. This parable, because I think that it kind of ironically, it describes what religion is. It describes what people do with religion. We're all seeking out truth. We're all seeking out what it is that makes us exist. We're all seeking out the higher power. Who is God? What is God? Is there a God? And looking at salvation, how do we attain? All religions think, or I guess I should say all world religions, all major world religions think that their God or the idea of salvation that they hold to is the right one. They all think, well, yeah, like what I believe is the truth. The God that I believe in is the right God or gods. And the salvation that I believe that we can or can't attain to, that's got to be the truth. But here's the question, can they all be right? If we, as we look at, you know, Buddhism and Islam and Christianity and Judaism and the list goes on and on and on, all these world religions, Hinduism, can they all be right in and of themselves? Can they all be true? Or can they all have parts of themselves that are true? That's the question that we're looking at tonight. We're actually finishing out our 2020 series looking at that question. Is there truth in every religion? Or is every religion and every belief true? See, I think what happens a lot in our life as we look around in the world that we live in, there's a lot of religious pluralism going on and universalism. You're like, what-a-what-alism? What are you talking about? What is that? Well, religious pluralism basically means that the belief that there is many ways to God. There are many ways to God. As opposed to, you know, singularism, pluralism means many. So I believe that, you know, this way leads to God, and this way leads to God, and this religion, and this belief system, and we'll all be okay. Now, universalism is more or less the same thing. It means that all will come to salvation at one point or another. That's a belief system. And maybe you know somebody that believes that. Maybe you have a family member who believes that and says, oh, you know what, like, I don't know what religion you are, what your beliefs are, but, you know, they're all the same. Like, they all lead to the same place in the end. But is that true? We got to look at that. That's the question that we're trying to answer. In other words, when we look at like universalism, pluralism, you know, a Muslim is basically saying, or a Mormon, or a Buddhist, or a Hindu, or a Christian, or an Orthodox Jew, you know, you can be any of that because we're all going to end up in the same place. We're all going to end up in the same heaven, the same paradise. We're all kind of technically following the same God, the same higher power. And really what this is this is an attack against absolute truth. People are saying, oh, you know, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me, and what's true for them is true for them. But, you know, why can't we all just live in harmony? Why can't we all just live like, hey, like, you're good, I'm good, everybody's good, depending on whatever you believe, as long as you're doing good in some way, shape, or form, we're all going to be good in the end. That sounds nice. Looks good on a bumper sticker. Now, speaking of bumper stickers, I don't know about you, but I'm not a bumper sticker guy. Anybody have bumper stickers on their car? Your parents have bumper stickers on their car? Maybe you're ashamed to admit that because you're like me. You know, growing up, my parents had a lot of bumper stickers on their cars, and I was always like, can you take that off, please, because it's embarrassing, you know? I really don't like that. But, hey, they're around. And as you drive around the 505, you see bumper stickers. There's some of them that are really funny. There's some that are just like, I don't understand. There's some that are just like, man, that's annoying. There's some that are just really aggressive, like, why? Like, why are you so aggressive? What's wrong with you? Are you mad? Like, why do you have that on your car? Like the bumper sticker that I saw a while back that said, it said, do you follow Jesus this close? And I was like, well, I'm convicted now. I don't know. I guess not. You know, like, makes me sad. But, you know, or like, or the ones that are just like no chill at all. Like, my dog is smarter than your honor student. You know what I mean? Like, geez, like, calm down. Like, what is wrong with you? Or there's one that I relate to probably the most, and if I did get a bumper sticker, I'd get this one on my car. It said, I'm only speeding because I really have to poop. I thought, maybe I'd get that on my car. It's a good excuse. Officer, I just really have to go to the bathroom, okay? I don't know. And then you have, like, the stick figure families, okay? Anybody a stick figure family member in here? Don't be ashamed. No, you oh, there you go. Yes. Yes, I see that hand. That's awesome. I'll say no more, okay? Except that if you are a Star Wars stick figure family, then you're even more cooler than anybody else. So, so there's that. And then there's these coexist bumper stickers. Anybody seen those around? They have different variations of them. They look like that. These symbols that all come together, and they mean for good. I get it. You know, I understand kind of what they're going for. But this kind of sums up how the world sees religion a lot of times. This kind of sums up pluralism, religious pluralism, and universalism. Basically, these all make up different religious symbols or universal symbols. Like the C is the moon, the crescent moon representing Islam. The O is the peace symbol. You got the gender equality for the E. You got your Star of David, which is Judaism. You have your Wiccan symbol for paganism. You have your Chinese yin-yang symbol. And then you have the cross representing Christianity. So you have all those things coming together. And I get it. You know, they're trying to say, like, we got to tolerate each other. But here's the thing about coexist. It promotes acceptance of all beliefs. But here's the thing, and this is actually my first point, just going right into it when we're looking at world religions here versus Christianity. The first thing is this. There's no coexisting. There's no coexisting. It just doesn't work that way. They don't get along as well as maybe we think that they do, other religions with each other. The way that some people will say, oh yeah, we're just all one big happy family, right? We're just gonna sing kumbaya and just, you know, everything's great. It doesn't work that way. Now before I go any further, I just want to say this. As a Christian, I'm called to be at peace with all people. And to love people the way that Jesus loves them, all right? So I'm not saying, like, we can't coexist, like, we can't get along. We can get along. I can do that. And I can love them the way that God loves them. But when it comes to tolerating and accepting all beliefs to be true, that's a different story. We can love people. We don't have to accept that every single belief is absolutely true. That just wouldn't make sense. Religions can't be true at the same time. For one, because, well, they don't all teach the same thing, and the things that they teach often oppose each other. Oftentimes when you put the teachings together in coexist, you see, like, well, some of them have fighting words towards each other. Some of them contradict each other. In other words, like, if you went and you looked at, you know, Islam, for instance, Islam teaches that probably or possibly salvation is obtained by good works. Possibly. And you look at Christianity as a side, and you see Christianity, salvation comes through grace, through faith. So it's not something that we can do on our own. You look at Islam, and you look at the teaching of Jesus. Islam believes that Jesus was a prophet. A good guy, but a prophet. But you look at Christianity, and you see Jesus is not a prophet, but the Son of God. He's the God-man. You look at Buddhism, and Buddhism, it says that Jesus was, he's like this guru, right? He was, you know, he's up there. He had some, like, wisdom, and he had some power, but he's not God. That's what Buddhism would say, or many other things like that. But Christianity is so different from those. Like, a Buddhist and an Orthodox Jew couldn't come together and agree on every single doctrine. That they wouldn't. They'd be up in arms. Like, no, like, we believe this, and this is true. And the other would say, no, we believe this, and this is true, and it would go on and on. But basically what I'm trying to say is religion is exclusive. It's exclusive. Like, even looking at Buddha himself. He started out as a Hindu, but he realized that Hinduism didn't have the answers for him, so he left Hinduism, and he went off to try to get the answers that he wanted, and then Buddhism was formed. Or you look at Hinduism, they would look at Christians. They'd look at someone like me and say, man, you're ignorant because you only believe in one God. In Hinduism, there are 300,000 gods. I mean, there's so many, so they can't coexist together and on doctrine and on what they feel is truth and say, well, more or less, we're good. You see what I'm saying? And the list goes on and on. Islam excludes anyone that doesn't believe in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad. Christianity is exclusive in its promises in Scripture and its doctrine in the Bible. It's exclusive. All religions cannot be true at the same time. See, because then somebody could come up and say, well, I believe that all religions and all beliefs are not true. And then that statement would then be true, making all beliefs not true. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's a self-defeating statement to look at it that way and say, yeah, it's nice because we can all get along and hold hands. But not when it comes to eternity. Not when it comes to truth. We can't bow down and say, you know, oh, let's just be tolerant of each other. Let's just accept all this is truth and everybody's good and let's be happy. It doesn't work that way. All religions can't be, well, they can be completely wrong. All religions can be wrong, but all religions cannot be true. So before I, like, you know, beat a dead horse with that, let's go on to the next thing, because I think it really helps going into the second thing that I want to talk about religion, and that's this. There are some rights in the wrong. There is some right in the wrong. I think that's something that we have to understand. See, because, well, let me illustrate like this. Anybody like math in here? Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing. I hate math, okay? Let me be honest. I don't like bringing up, like, math, like, in conversation. I'm not like, so, let's talk about math. Let's talk about algebra. Let's talk about equations, right? Let's bring out the board and let's do a little bit of math. Like, no, I don't do that, okay? Like, it's not like a go-to in my sermons. Thank you, Cody. I'm not just like, well, to illustrate this, let's look at I don't even, like, know what to say. Like, let's look at this equation, you know? Like, let's do it, because that's not me. But, hey, let's do a little bit of multiplication, okay? Okay? You guys okay with that? Let me see if I can get, like, the blue. Okay, so, like, let's say, I don't know, 235, let's make it easy, like, times 3, okay? I'm all echoey, can you guys hear me? So 5 times, if you know it, don't say it yet. So 5, 15, carry the 1, 9, 10, carry the 1, 3, 6, 705, is that right? Some of you are like, I got that, like, minutes ago, Kelly. That's not very smart, okay? I don't know. It takes me a while. That's why I said times 3, and not, I could have said times 1, okay? But let's say I got the answer wrong, okay? And let's say I forgot to carry the 1 here or something, and I just said, like, okay, 5, 3 times 3 is 9, 3 times 2 is 6. What if I got 695, okay? And I said, there's the answer. Thank you for that. That's not the answer, okay? But what if I got, like 976 as the answer? You'd be a little bit more freaked out at this than this, right? Because you'd be like, where the heck did you get that? Like, 976? Like, that doesn't even make sense. You're wrong. You failed, okay? But if I got 695, maybe you'd say, well, okay, you're wrong. But I can see where you messed up. I can see where you had the mistake. You forgot to carry the 1, okay? Everybody, like, paying attention here, you guys look glazed over, like, this is awful. This is awful. It's bad enough to be talking about world religion, but now we're talking about math in church. Kelly, way to just bore everybody. You have a fidget spinner? Take it out real quick. No, I'm just kidding. So, like, you would be able to see that. But if I turned any of these three answers into the teacher, would all three of them be correct? What would be correct if I turned in all three of these? There'd be one that's correct, and that's the right answer. But I think it's interesting to be able to see, the reason I'm saying this is where we went wrong in the equation, where we went wrong with the sun. To be able to say, well, it's not quite there. Here is where you make a mistake. Here is where you're not considering something. You got to carry the one in order to get to the right answer, 705. See, I think that a lot of times in religion, especially as Christians, we can be so arrogant and so ignorant, I will say, to say, well, as a Christian, as an American Christian, I got to conclude that all world religions are completely wrong. There's nothing right. That's garbage. That's like 976, okay? I don't even know where they came from. And that's not what Jesus has called us to be as we are the light of the world. It's to come over and just say, well, hey, you're completely wrong, way out of left field. Our job is to have this attitude that Jesus did, to be able to come and meet somebody where they're at on their level and say, look, you got 695. Now, I can see where you went wrong. And let me explain to you a little bit about the truth. Isn't that what Jesus did, where he met with people where they were at and he explained to them, hey, here's the truth. It's not wrong for us to say that there is some right in the wrong, that there is some truth to world religions. I think C.S. Lewis said it pretty well in Mere Christianity. And by the way, if you're looking for a good book on some of the subjects that we've talked about, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis is a good book, and I would highly recommend it. But he says in there, he says, if you're a Christian, you don't have to believe that all other religions are simply wrong all through. He says, but of course, being a Christian does mean thinking that where Christianity differs from other religions, Christianity is right and they are wrong. This attitude is going to help you, I think, to talk to your friends, to talk to your family. I'm going to erase this. I need an eraser. Oh, it's on the back. Bless you. You thought of everything. I don't know where it is. It's okay, though. Oh, there it is. Cody is my official eraser. Can you give it up for Cody Byrne, everybody? Good job, man. Wow. Oh, it's okay. You know what? It's all right. We can manage with that. Thanks, man. Here's the thing. I think we can have that attitude. We should have that attitude as Christians. Let's not add to the problem of religion in this world. Let's have an attitude like Christ and be humble to be able to show people that there is a right answer. And that, yeah, you came close. There's a lot of truth. I think that we need to start where people are at. You talk to somebody who's a Buddhist. You talk to somebody who's a Muslim. You talk to somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness. You talk to somebody who is a Mormon or whatever it is. You can find common ground there, I promise. To be able to say, hey, like, you believe that there's a God. Great. Let's start there and let's work our way out. I think that's really important instead of just talking to somebody and saying, you're wrong, and I'm going to be up here on my pedestal as a Christian and say all these things about what your religion says, even though I don't know anything. I think we need to educate ourselves. We need to have an open mind if we're going to be what Jesus has called us to be, if we're going to have a relationship with this world like we should in the right way. But of course, as we educate ourselves, as we get on people's level, as we humble ourselves, we have to come to the conclusion of this third point here, that there is only one right answer. There is only one way. See, as much as we can say, hey, I get where you're coming from. I get why you got 695. We have to tell them the answer is actually 705, and here's why. Let me explain it to you. We can't ever just get by saying, well, just turn in whatever answer you want because I'm sure God doesn't really care about all that doctrine stuff. I'm sure God doesn't really care about all that truth. But that's not how it is. That's not anything that we see. We had a middle school pool party here a few weeks ago. Not here, actually. It was at Cody's parents' house. And who went to that? Anybody? Any of the youngins in here? Me! Never mind. Forget it. I was going to say something, and I'm not going to say it. Anyway, so we had this pool party, and it was at Cody's parents' house. And, naturally, Cody didn't want to, like, put his address, all his parents' address, like all over the internet. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like, hey, come to this pool party, blast. Like, you know, anybody can come to this house. Like, he wanted to make sure the right people came to his parents' house so no creeper came in, like, messing with his parents, right? But they still had to make sure that, we still had to make sure, even though we planned everything, we had slides, we got, you know, money for food, and we got permission, of course, from Cody's parents, and all of that. We had to make sure that the kids that should be there knew where they were going. You guys know what I'm getting at here. So when people came to me or to Cody, they'd be like, excuse me, Pastor Callie, do you know where the address is to Cody's parents' house? You know, it's like, because that's what you sound like. Just, it's all right. That's how I sound. Don't worry. What if Cody was like, oh, too easy, man. No worries. All right, he was like, ha, no worries. Just get on the road. Any road. All roads lead to my parents' house. Ha, no worries. What if he said that? Ha, no worries. You like that? Let me try that again. All roads lead to my parents' house. Ha, no worries. Yeah, you know, that's good. That's good. Well, what would you do if Cody said that to you? You'd roll your eyes at him, you'd laugh, and you'd just like, okay, for real, tell me though, or I'll hurt you, right? Give me the address. And so he's got to give you the address for that in order to go to the house and have all that fun, have that, you know, that pool time, the grill time, all that fellowship, but you wouldn't know if you didn't have an address. Now, all roads do not lead to Cody's parents' house. Just like all beliefs do not lead to God. You know, you had your Bible open to John 14. Why don't you open it up? I want to tell you a little story of this. See, while Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14 here, we see that they're discouraged. If you just kind of glance, all you have to do is glance onto chapter 14, verse 1, and you can see what Jesus is telling them. He says, what does he say to them? Somebody shout it out. Do not be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be discouraged. And we can say, well, why were the disciples discouraged? Well, they had a pretty rough encounter just a few minutes ago in the upper room. Things got real. Things got heavy. See, the disciples and Jesus had been celebrating Passover in the upper room. And, you know, they're eating and they're hanging out. They're enjoying the company that they have with Jesus. And Jesus even washes their feet, as was the duty of the servant. But Jesus is like, he's the ultimate servant. He's the ultimate hospitality welcome team guy. Like we should take, I'm not saying like leaders are going to like wash your feet when you come into Spectrum or anything like that. But here is Jesus washing their feet and they're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just gets real. He's like, hey, one of you is going to betray me tonight. They're like, whoa, way to ruin the mood, Jesus. Like, is it I? Who is it? And eventually, Jesus, he makes it known to the disciple sitting closest to him, John, that it's Judas who's going to betray him. And Judas, finally, he's been opening up his heart to Satan. He's been allowing these thoughts to come in and fester and fester and fester. He's letting pride come in. And finally, it says that the devil himself enters into Judas. And Judas gets up. He looks at Jesus. And Jesus knows. He's not dumb. Jesus says, what are you going to do? Go and do it. And so Judas gets up, full of Satan himself, and goes to go sell him out, to betray him, to take him before the religious leaders and set up an arrest. And Jesus knows what's coming. And so once Judas is gone, then the disciples are sitting there like, whoa, what just happened? What's going on? And then Jesus continues with the real talk. He's like, guys, I'm leaving soon, like really soon. And where I'm going, you can't come with me. Now, Peter's like, Jesus, what are you talking about? Like, of course we're going to come with you. Like, Jesus, I'm going to go with you everywhere. I don't know about these other guys, but like, I'm in it till the end. Like, I'm going to die for you if I have to, Jesus. I will lay down my life. And Jesus is like, will you, Peter? I'll tell you the truth, Peter, that tonight you're going to deny that you even know me 3 times. Oh, geez. Can you imagine the tension that's in that room at that point? Peter just sinks down. He just deflates. And they're all looking around the room like, what's going on? Where is Jesus going? Why is he talking like this? Well, he's the Messiah. He's supposed to stay with us. He's supposed to lead us. What's going on? And now Jesus says to him, he says, and in verse 1 of 14, if you have your Bible, why don't you read it with me? He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. You know the way where I'm going, he says. Silence. And Thomas, I relate to Thomas. He's looking around the room, and all the disciples are just sitting there like, okay. And then Thomas says what everybody else was thinking, but nobody else could say. He just opens his mouth, and he says, Lord, we have no idea what you're talking about. With all due respect. He's like, Lord, we have no idea where you're going, and how can we know the way? To which Jesus replies, you know it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. He makes it very exclusive. See, Jesus believed, according to Jesus, there's only one way to God. According to Jesus, those are his words. There's only one way to God. According to Jesus, you can't just pick a religion, any religion, and be good. According to Jesus, you got to come through him. It's exclusive. And not just Jesus the prophet, not just Jesus the sage, not just Jesus the guru or the good man. You got to come through Jesus the God man, everything that he said about himself. That's what Jesus says. He makes it clear. There's no denying that, there's no mistaking it. And he proves, he shows them that's the way to salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He was talking about himself. Now everybody wants salvation. We look at world religions and we look at these major world religions. They all want salvation. Judaism believes that, hey, you gotta do good works. You gotta obey the commandments of the law. We know the Old Testament, 5 books of Moses. That's what Judaism says. Islam says, it's not likely, but you know, I mean, it's not even promised, but if you do more good than bad and you balance yourself out and you obey the, you know, is it the 5 pillars of the faith, then you'll be able to hopefully get into paradise. You look at all these other religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, they all say different things about this higher power, this salvation. Hinduism says that you got to work off your debt somehow in the afterlife. I don't even know how that works. But Christianity says something different. Christianity says you'll never be able to get to heaven by your own good works. You'll never be able to get to heaven by doing good or being a good person. You'll never be able to get to God by proving that you're something worth. But Christianity is the only belief system that'll say that you couldn't pay your debt, but God himself came down and he paid your debt for you. God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that you and me could be the righteousness of God. That's distinct. I can't think of any other religion, any other belief system that says that God would come down to man and become one of them. You see, religion is kind of like this. I'm going to come back to the board. I'm not doing math, so don't worry about that. But religion is kind of like this. This is just something that I was looking at, and I've seen it somewhere before in some different places, but I kind of just see it like a bunch of arrows. You know, this is religion, okay? Some of them doesn't make it very far. They're like, child sacrifice, that's just not right. You know, that doesn't go very far. Here's other religions. This one barely made it. This one goes, you know, this one does okay. This one's here. That's religion. It's trying to get to God by our good works. It's trying to, you know, prove yourself. Can you guys see it over here on the screens? But this is Christianity. This is the best way that I can describe what this is. Religion versus Christianity is right here. Right here. That's Christianity. That shows us God coming down and becoming one of us. paying the debt that we could not pay. Not in our wildest dreams could we pay. Religion can never save anybody. Christianity is that one religion where God gave his son so that we could have freedom. God gave up his freedom in order for us to have freedom, is how Timothy Keller puts it. But let's go back. Let's go back to the proverb that we started on just for a minute. Just as you have that in your mind, that old Buddhist proverb, somebody who was telling the story had to have been there to know that it was an elephant that these blind people were touching, right? Somebody had to be able to see that, to be able to show them, hey guys, like, that's not a snake, that's not a fan, that's not a wall, that's an elephant, okay? And there it is. And I think that Jesus is the example of that for us. See, we would have never understood truth if God hadn't come down and shown us himself what it was. We would have all just been grasping in the darks. And I think that maybe God is something like this, or I think maybe God might be something like that, and I think God may be something like this, but in all of it, we would all fall short of it unless God himself came down and said, let me explain to you who I really am. Let me explain my heart to you. Let me explain my plan for you. Here it is. Here's the absolute truth. And that's what Jesus did. See, Jesus didn't just come to this world and give us directions. Jesus came and he picked us up. And he took us to the destination of everlasting life by dying on the cross and raising from the dead. I think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Because this proves the point even further. When Jesus is there, and he knows what's coming. He knows that the cross is just around the corner. It's just hours away. Or he'll be arrested. He'll be flogged, and if you heard the message last week, you know what kind of anguish and pain he went through physically, but that doesn't even begin to talk about the spiritual pain and anguish that Jesus went through, and emotional and all those things. But he's considering, it's coming, it's right there. He can almost taste it, and he prays. He gets down on his knees in the garden, and he says, God, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, if I don't have to do this, then show me the other way. But what if there was another way? If there was another way, don't you think that God would have been like, oh, well, there's always Hinduism. You could always do that. Meditation. But there was no other way. And so Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross because that was the only way that mankind might have salvation. There's no other way. You see, so all religions cannot be true. They cannot all be completely true, because then Christianity would be wrong. Because then Jesus would be wrong. And if Jesus is wrong, then Christianity is wrong, and then all religions can't be true. There's got to be another answer. There's got to be another truth there, but there is none. Because Jesus was right. Because Jesus wasn't mistaken. Because Jesus knew exactly why he had come. Jesus wasn't wrong. But he went to the cross, and he died, and he rose from the dead. And those words are just as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, remember, he didn't just show you the way. He picked you up, and he took you. And he took your sin, he took your shame, he took your guilt. He took all those things that religion could never take away, that religion could never accomplish. And he did it on the cross, and he rose from the dead. And guess what? I think out of all those other world religious leaders that have come up, Jesus is the only one alive today. He's the only one alive who conquered death, who has the keys to Hades and to hell. And he's saying, hey, like, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And if anyone wants to come to me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, pick up her cross, and follow me daily. That's what Jesus offers. He says, if any of you are weary and carry heavy burdens, come to me. For my burden is easy. My yoke is light. Jesus is the one true God, and we talked about that already. But it just goes to show that there is one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for that truth. I thank you that we can be here tonight, and we don't have to just look back at all history of just this empty religion that, that ended with the death of its beginner, of its founder. But we get to look at Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, who's still doing a work today, who's not finished. Lord, I pray that even tonight, as we look at the person of Jesus, that Jesus would be in the midst of us. Lord, if there's any preconceived notions or false expectations that we put on you, Lord, make it clear to us. Give us vision for who you are. Lord, help our unbelief, because, Lord, all of us doubt. You know my heart. You know our hearts. We doubt, Lord. We're prone to wander and to stray away from you. But I pray that you would you'd bring us back to that revelation of who you are, of Jesus, and we might be changed forever by him. Why don't we all stand up? And let's worship the King of Kings. Let me tell you, he's alive. We're not worshiping a dead Messiah. We're worshiping the King of Kings who was and is to come. You guys believe that? Jesus is the same. He was the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same tomorrow. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Why don't we worship that King of Kings today?